Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Futures in Chicago buckled under the weight of the big crop this week, with corn, soybeans, and wheat all posting double-digit losses. Might it just be a correction before next Friday's USDA crop production report? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Steve Erdman with EFG in Chicago. Our panelists today are Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor LLC in Bloomington, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Did corn futures break hard enough, fast enough, and deep enough to hold steady into next week's crop production report? Dale Durkles.
Well, you know, the market has definitely been put on the defensive this last week. I think a lot in part due to, number one, wheat supporting corn here prior to that, and the wheat breakdown really kind of moved that leg. But I find it interesting that, you know, down under 350, corn's finding some support at this point, and we're in a window here for a 20-week cycle low. The question is, are we seeing it now, or is it still maybe going to come after we see this crop report? That's an unknown, but I tend to think there's a little downside risk, but not a huge downside risk.
Dale Durkles is with AgriVisor. Bill Mayer with Roach Ag Marketing.
I guess I would agree. I think there's some good support in the 340 area, December corn futures. If that gets broken, you could take it down back down to the 325. Whether we do that before the report or not probably depends on whether the buyers, the actual commercial buyers of corn, is willing to step up to the plate. I think they will be at some point, but they may let the harvest pressure take its course for a little while.
And Mike Georgie is with Allendale.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it doesn't seem like production number is hurting the traders or scaring the traders. And we're looking at maybe a 1.8 or a 2 billion carryover, and it's not making them nervous. They think the demand and export number is going to keep this market steady or even add to it in the weeks and months to come.
You know, one thing that maybe that kind of held things together here as we wrapped out the end of the week is still a lot of people unwinding a lot of long wheat short corn spreads, too. And that might be giving us a bit of a false sense of hope right here.
U.S. export sales this week now at 37.7% of the weight of the USDA's annual goal and running way ahead of schedule. Would that suggest to you, Mike, the demand remains very good for the crop and rationing might yet need to take place?
Oh, I don't know if we need any rationing. I think, you know, it's like anything. People are afraid yet. They're still wondering if we're going to have the big crop. I think they're buying early here, and we may see a big decrease in exports coming on. But right now, everybody thinks the demand is good and supply is tight, so they're buying.
Corn futures this week in Chicago finished the December contract with a top of $3.76.5, a bottom at $3.39.5. They were down 30 and a quarter cents. December futures settled $3.42.25. December for next year at $3.93.5 a bushel, down 27 cents from last Friday's close. Informa and FC Stone released their numbers. We'll talk about those in just a moment, but I'd like a political opinion first. President Bush says he might veto the Water Resources Development Act that includes $3.6 billion to update the lock and dam systems on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. What is the potential basis impact of an update of the system? Now, I suppose what I'm really asking is, given the pull from the ethanol production in Iowa, how important is it for those lock and dam systems to be updated for the Illinois producer?
Well, I think long term, you know, it's something that needs to be done. There's no doubt about it. I think, you know, when you look at the when you look at the political reality here, does it mean much for the next 1 to 2 years? Probably not. There are a lot of other things in play in here, and that's really not that important because that's a longer-term implication in the market itself.
I would agree that it's important, but it's important long-term. I think that as we go through the next few years, I think the exports may be the surprise that's out there, and there's a lot of groups that fought long and hard to get that done, and I hope they don't veto it.
Now on to the Informa, FC Stone numbers. They're big. Informa says corn at 13.506 billion bushels, 158.1 bushels to the acre. FC Stone at a 13.445 billion bushel crop, 157.4. Does Allendale have a number yet, Mike, for the upcoming crop production report?
No, we don't. I haven't seen it yet. Probably be out Monday, but you know, we're still at that 41.1 the last I read on the beans, so they may keep the supply steady on the beans, and the last number we had was 155, so I haven't seen a change yet.
And just so we have the numbers out for the beans, too, FC Stone at 2.722 billion bushels, Informa at 2647. FC Stone says 43 bushels to the acre, Informa at 42.1 bushels to the acre. What do you make of the numbers, and what are your expectations for next week?
Well, the bean numbers, I think the Informa number is pretty well on the mark at this particular juncture, according to a lot of work I've done looking at condition ratings and other such as sundry items of that. I think that's really still in the mix. I'm underneath where these people are on the corn. And the corn, to me, I'm not so much worried about the yield estimate on this coming report. I'm more concerned about what the USDA may or may not do with acreage because now they have access to the FSA insurance data, and so they'll have some pretty hard evidence. You know, does corn acreage need to be adjusted up or down, bean acreage in the same vein? So I think the acreage numbers may be more important next week even than the yield numbers.
Any historical precedents for them moving those numbers very much based on hard data?
You know, last year we moved the corn acres down quite a bit on this report, but this year I don't think you can look back at history to really try to make a gauge because we had such a huge shift in plantings this year that creates a whole different other set of statistical problems with it, and that says, does the USDA go up or down? Who knows? You know, I don't think you can really gauge it.
Bill, have you been surprised by how well it seems that the infrastructure has been able to handle this big crop that's come in so far?
Well, I won't say that I've been totally surprised. We talked about that, I think, in like a champagne meeting we had here. I think that the surprise has been, in my mind, the pace that the harvest has come in. That's really the thing that's stressing the system. And I would guess just some of the observations I've had that the volume, you know, on per hour basis is up 30% this year compared to last year at least. And I think we're almost there. I mean, coming down today, looking at fields and that, I would guess by Monday on the crop report we'll be 75% done in Illinois.
The numbers from the Board of Trade for some of the other grains. Wheat, December contract at 9.59 top, a bottom at 8.88. December futures down 49.6 at $8.90. July, though, at 6.86.5, gained 5.5 cents from 1 week to the next. Soybeans, November, 9.99.25 for their high, the low at 9.31. Settlement price at 9.40.5, down 50.75. November beans at $9.37, down 27. Weekly U.S. export sales for wheat at 1.59 million metric tons this week. That puts the total for the marketing year-to-date sales reaching 80% of what USDA has forecast, usually about 48% over the five-year rolling average. Just extraordinary.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that, you know, the corn trade is something that they need to really take heart and maybe take a look at that as well, because when you look at wheat prices as they compare to corn, when you look at where we are so tight of wheat in the world, you really get a feeling that, you know, we're going to start blending off some of this lower quality milling wheat that might have been otherwise destined for the feed bunk back into the milling stream and take away some bushels out of what may go into the feed bunk. And we may be seeing a situation where corn export sales in the early part of the year could ramp up and do something similar to what wheat did, basically, as people try to secure feed supplies.
Last year, Mike, as we went into the fall season, there were some calls that said we might have earlier highs rather than later. I think we had both, frankly, as we went through the year. What are your expectations this time around?
Well, I think a lot of people were expecting this year to be like last year, but I think we definitely have a turnaround of last year. I mean, the big crop kept getting smaller last year. This year, the crop keeps getting bigger. The U.S. farmer was asked to produce more corn, and that's exactly what he did. And I think you've got Argentina, which is the second biggest importer, going to have a bigger crop this year. So, you know, I don't know how much more upside we have. I think going into early next year, you may have this fight for acreage, which could actually, ramp the corn price up. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for, and that's why they're storing their corn to maybe get a better price next spring.
Do we still have the reasons to have a fight for acreage at this point, Bill?
Well, I think it's a distribution of acres. It looks to me like the first question is how many acres are we going to get planted to wheat? Are we going to do like we did with corn and overshoot it a little bit? I think the answer to that is probably yes. We'll probably plant more wheat acres than we need. But if you figure that you've got 63 or 64 million wheat acres, then the key is you've got to have somewhere about 5 to 7 million acres shift from corn back down to beans, and then you get the carryouts looking out to 08 into a pretty reasonable, billion on corn and 220 or so on beans, million bushel carryout. That's about where you need to be balanced. Now, what numbers do you need to get there price-wise? That's a harder question. But I think if you look at the 08 fall cash bids, we're pretty close to the numbers we need right now.
Would you agree?
I won't totally disagree, but, you're just staring down this unknown pike out there at this juncture. I mean, we really don't know much about demand for the new crop yet. Everybody has suspicions that ethanol demand is soft at this point. It's going to back down the processing for ethanol. Probably will. You look at what's going on in the livestock industry. The pork industry is still growing. The broiler industry is still growing. So you still have to put in a reasonable demand base for feed. The point when you come back, and I took a look at this back about a month ago, and I'd penciled in 4.5 million acres more of wheat. I penciled in 5 million acres more of beans, and it says you got to lose 5 million acres of corn and still stay within the same acreage boundaries at this point, and so if you start looking at that, it says, guys, I can't afford to give up more than that. So I think part of what happens with the corn market, it's per se as we go into winter on this acreage battle, is what happens with wheat and soybean prices and how does that dictate the game. Corn is back into its more traditional role of follower.
It is part of that because anhydrous ammonia is so expensive, do you think?
Well, I think that's a part of it, but I got a lot of producers that are saying, if I can get $4 corn and 200 bushel or $4 corn at 200 bushels an acre, I can afford some input cost compared to 40 or 45 bushel beans.
Well, yeah, but the question is, can they get $4 corn?
That's
we know that hasn't happened actually very often. Certainly not very often. Five times in the last 30 years or something along those lines.
And I think it's a regional thing too. I think if you're in southwestern Illinois and you can put in wheat and put soybeans behind it, that looks like a pretty good program. McLean County, I'm not sure that you want to veer away from the corn-soybean rotation very much.
No, he made a great point there. You go south of Taylorville, Pena, somewhere in there, and you go south, and I'm talking about all the way into the Mid-South. And we got to remember there's like about 325 million more bushels of corn were raised in the Mid-South this year than was raised last year. Those people are looking at wheat and the guarantees on wheat. I know for Illinois, the insurance guarantees are like $5.93 for the CRC and I think $5.95 for the grip product, and it says, okay, if I can do that with insurance on wheat, plant beans behind it, man, my gross, you know, for those two crops is going to be real fancy. And so that's where you're going to lose acres, is really going south.
Oats at the Chicago Board of Trade finished at 273. They were down 16 and three quarters for the week from the Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle had a high of 97.05, a low at 93.60, a settlement price 327.5 lower at 93.67.5. The feeders there at 113.95 were down $2.35. And the October lean hogs, a high price this week of $59, a low at $57.30. They settled at $58.22.5, were down 67.5 cents. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Erdman from EFG.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. As September ended and October began, we cannot seem to shake the summer weather. Temperatures this week briefly fell closer to normal, but still above, before taking a climb upward again. Temperatures have averaged 6 to 9 degrees above normal this week, with the largest departures on the maximum temperatures. Normally during the first week of October, we should be seeing highs in the mid-60s north to the mid to upper 70s south, not in the 80s. Lows in the first week of October are generally in the 40s to mid-50s. Mornings have been cool, but not as cool as they would usually be. Rainfall this week was normal to well above normal across the northwestern two-thirds of Illinois. Most of the rain came on Tuesday and early Wednesday as a cold front moved across the state and only caused a hiccup in fall harvest activities. The showers and thunderstorms weakened as they moved further southeast, leaving southeastern Illinois still needing some good rain. Unseasonably warm weather will continue into early next week. A cold front is expected to move through Illinois late Monday or on Tuesday, and will bring along with it a chance for showers and perhaps some thunderstorms. An upper-level low is forecast to move slowly across the southern Great Lakes the rest of the week, and that will likely bring cloudy skies, perhaps some scattered showers, and temperatures much closer to normal. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Dale Durkles of AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington. Our guest is Steve Erdman of EFG in Chicago. Erdman has over 20 years of experience in the futures industry, starting his career as a grain merchandiser for a Fortune 50 company. He's also a former member of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Steve, welcome to the show.
Absolutely.
Please tell me how you would have producers react to $10 lead option bean futures and $4 lead option corn futures the next time that might happen, if it does, for both the 07 and the 08 crops.
If beans got to $10 and corn got to $4 in the next before now and the end of the year,
correct.
For example, I'd have them sell it. I mean, I think we all needed to learn a lesson from this year's price action. I remember doing some outlook seminars and talking to people about the fact that we were at unprecedented levels, and we were there for a good reason, but how quickly things change. And I think this year's production is a tremendous lesson for everybody. I mean, We saw what the U.S. farmer can do with the genetic seed stock that we have, and this year's crop is evidence of a tremendous production. And, it, you know, what, less than 10 months ago, I think everybody was targeting a 600 to 700 million ending stocks, and now we're flirting with something 2 billion bushels or more. So once again, we've produced our way out of a very bullish situation in corn. It changes, so I think we have to react to it.
Steve, I've got another question. It's kind of integrally involved in all this and what's going on with the market right now, and I'm specifically talking about or thinking about wheat. Do you think we've seen some of the early signs? Maybe we've put a peak in wheat? Because my concern is that once the wheat market's done, this whole thing can get kind of soft and sloppy on us.
No, I think we have seen the first indications, and I think the biggest indication we saw this week, Dale, was that Egypt took 80,000 tons of wheat and the number of different countries that were offering wheat out that we thought, you know, 3 weeks ago didn't have any wheat. Everything was cheaper than the U.S. Egypt took 80,000 tons from Russia. And, I mean, that was a huge indication that, we priced ourselves into consumption. You know, I know we've got to consider the fund effect and, how much index funds and trading funds have pushed the market around. But, I mean, the market, even though we achieved these levels of $9.60 a bushel for wheat, it was there for a reason. And we did have two crop failures 2 years in a row in Australia, dramatic crop failures, I might add. But to answer your question, yes, I think we've seen the first indication, especially with price breaking down the way it has. I think it's going to be an incredibly volatile price, and I think we could break down to, say, 830 to 840 in these futures and see the market stage one last rally. So I don't think this volatility is done yet, but I think the market has stopped.
Steve, we've been talking about this huge corn yield out here since the 1st of September. About what types of numbers do you think would be a surprise next Friday on the report?
I think the market's numb now to, because we have, you're right, we have, this is Bill, isn't it?
Yes.
We have been hearing these huge yield numbers for so many weeks. I think the market's not going to be surprised by anything, really, unless it was, you know, unless the USDA came and offered something much, much lower than people expect. I think the market is prepared to absorb the crop, and I think you guys were talking about that a little bit earlier. I think we are going to put the crop away. It's coming in fast and furious, and it's coming in dry, and I think a lot of it's going to go on the ground if it has to. But I think once you look at the basis levels that we've got all over the country, the spreads and the carry and the price structure, I think it's going to get hedged by the elevators. I think they'll carry it. I do think we're going to see the same effect similar to what we saw last year, even though we have this huge crop. And I think the market, meaning the spreads and the basis, specifically, are going to come storming back. But I do agree with what you guys said earlier that it does look a little suspect right now in terms of breaking down. But I think once the market is able to get to 60 to 70% done with harvest, you're going to see demand start to rear its head, and I think we're going to come storming back in the cash.
Are you sure that the elevators will hedge it? I mean, there has been some thought that the disconnect between Chicago and the river has caused the elevators to think twice about doing the hedges because they can't deliver quite correctly or the way they'd like to, and it's not converging. Will they go ahead and put their head down and go and do it?
If they've got storage, they have to. The economics of it insists that they hedge. It's that simple from my perspective. I know that there were cash bids probably 2 weeks ago to the farmer that were the equivalent of 90 under the July. 90 under the July in a basis that's typically averages between 15 and 25 under. So any elevator and a producer for that matter that has that kind of carry staring them in the face has no choice but to go out to the deferreds and lock some of that in, carry the grain, and make some of that basis appreciation.
Steve, this is Mike. Let's go to the beans for once here. What do you think is going to have to happen with the beans and the carry out to either move it up back to $10 or even move it down a dollar or two? I think it's a potential to break. We could still come out with a 220, 250 carry out, which is actually average. But is the Brazilian crop going to be that much of a stimulus to price movement?
I think the Brazilian crop is huge. If they have any kind of adverse growing conditions in the southern hemisphere, I think the bean market is still incredibly explosive. You have just dramatically reduced ending stocks, and like you said, it's an adequate level, but it's not anything that anyone is comfortable with given the dramatic increase in the demand base. And, you know, with China and the potential for export that we have, I think it's imperative that South America grows good crop.
Hey, quickly, just off to China, and you made mention there, there's some things floating out that China's corn crop is actually even smaller than it was last year for people who originally thought it was bigger. What's your take on that story?
I think it is smaller, and I think, you know, no one's talking about China importing corn, but I think they're going to. I think they're going to be forced to. I think their livestock numbers and their government's insistence on expanding their livestock herds, they are going to be importing corn in my estimation. So I think it's something that we really haven't even factored in yet. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons that people can't get too, you know, down in the mouth about the corn market and its potential, because we do have such a tremendous demand base, and it's going to stay that way. It's not going to shrink.
How do you view the U.S. dollar and the economics in the United States at this point on the global stage, and what role it is playing or might play in the futures market?
Well, it's the weak dollar is obviously making all of our products very, very attractive to any of our foreign buyers, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons we all need to stay optimistic about our disappearance, because that's not going to change that I see. I mean, I think you may see the dollar index rally back to the 80 level or something like that, but you know the trend overall is going to remain that the dollar is going to stay relatively weak. Every time people try to get the least bit friendly to the dollar, you see situations like you saw today where the Canadian was up 150 to 180, and you know every other currency out there is just brutalizing the dollar right now. As long as the dollar stays as cheap as it has and stays in the downward spiral that it has, that I think, you know, once again, our products are going to be attractive, and I think it's going to stay that way. We just don't have our fiscal house in order.
And finally, does EFG have numbers that they'll be using for next week's crop production report?
That's my partner Tommy's forte, and he wasn't in the office today, so I don't have any new numbers for you guys.
All right. Thanks much, Steve. We appreciate you being with us.
You betcha. Thanks for having me.
Steve Erdman was with EFG out of Chicago. Now for a final word from our panelist, and we'll start with you, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor.
You know, he mentioned China and the possibility of corn exports, and one thing that I keep kind of looking at now, especially given the last hog and pig report and hog pork value relative to corn, China might buy pork and more than we're thinking.
And Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing.
I'd urge everybody, as you go forward here and start making your plans for 2008, buying seed, making fertility plans, look at those prices out there and look at locking in at least an increment of that when you get an opportunity.
Mike Georgie?
Well, I think the same thing. You've got some good prices, and when you get to that good price and you want to sell, you can definitely lower your risk with options, and you've got to take advantage of it.
Mike Georgie is with Allendale. Bill Mayer, of course, with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, and Dale Durkles of AgriVisor. We appreciate everybody being along for this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.